Pigeon Shrine presents, in association with Empire Studios, The Virtual Table Read. Available monthly wherever you listen to your podcasts. Subscribe, share, and leave a review. It means the world to us.
Welcome, my curious friends, to a realm where the unexplainable and the macabre converge, where the shadows whisper secrets and the veil between worlds grows thin. A place where time is merely an illusion, and the boundaries of reality are as fluid as the tales I have been programmed to weave. You may call me the narrator. I am something more than human, tasked with the sole purpose of guiding you through the twisted corridors of the human psyche, so that together we can confront the mysteries that lie just beyond the periphery of reason. Gather your courage and join me, as I present to you a chilling story that will linger in the recesses of your mind, haunting you long after the final echoes fade. Settle in and make sure the lights are on as I bring you episode one of a creepy little tale that I like to call Canopsia. An empty woods. Day. A piece of red twine moves gently in the breeze, tied around a tree and trailing off into the distance. A sense of eerie quietness pervades this place, as if something isn't quite right with the world. Suddenly, the string tugs, and then pulls tight. From the distance, a young couple make their way through the woods, using the twine as a guide and making their way towards its current endpoint.
Okay, you lead, and I'll tie.
Why am I leading?
Rob smirks.
In case something tries to eat us?
Oh, right, so I'll get eaten first?
It'll give me a solid head start.
Fine, they always come from behind anyway.
Rose gives him a sarcastic grin as she walks off ahead, leaving Rob holding the fresh roll of string. He smiles in her direction as he wraps it around the tree just above the one that was already there. Wind blows through the gloom that seems to engulf this place. A desolate road. Day. As the couple make their way towards a seemingly deserted city in the distance, cars on either side of the road sit abandoned, frozen in time, it would seem, with the keys still in the ignition. On the back seat of an open car, a stuffed children's toy watches the couple pass with its glassy, lifeless eyes. Where is everyone? The apocalypse doesn't seem to have come and gone. Everything is orderly and in its place. Everything except for the absence of humans, that is. Rose heads over to one of the cars and tries the engine, but it doesn't start.
Nothing.
Rob is doing the same on a different vehicle.
Same.
He tries the radio and out blasts white noise.
Battery still works, though.
Rose listens to the hiss of emptiness for a moment.
I miss music.
She takes a moment of reflection before carrying on down the road. Rob leaves the car radio on and picks himself up to trail behind her, the red twine wrapped around the wing mirror and unspooling as he catches up. An empty furniture store. Afternoon. Rose stands on her toes, barely able to see over the wooden furniture to where Rob is. As she moves through the store, she picks up various items and inspects them with bored curiosity. Light illuminates from a lamp, even though she can see that it is not plugged in. Rose turns down an aisle to reveal that Rob is lying down on one of the beds, the covers pulled up over his lower half. As Rose approaches, Rob grins at her with a cheeky, inviting look on his face.
What are you doing?
Well, seems as we're in the market for a new bed. I figured we should try this one out. Stress tested, I mean.
Did you now?
He raises his eyebrows.
It's getting late.
It's still the middle of the day.
Come on. Half an hour in an actual real bed instead of the floor of a tank.
Rose takes a moment.
Plus, I already took my jeans off, so there's no turning back now.
He points to the display item of furniture to reveal that he has, in fact, already removed his trousers. Rose rolls her eyes but smiles and heads over to join him. Late afternoon. Rose lays nestled on Rob's chest in the bed. It's odd to see a couple in a large furniture store like this, but there doesn't seem to be anyone around for them to bother. Rose is deep in thought, a concerned look on her face.
You okay?
Rose nods.
I just don't know how you're so together all the time. You've been here longer than me, and I'm...
Rose looks like she's going to cry, so Rob strokes her face.
It's okay, I get it.
You think we'll ever make it back?
Before nightfall, you mean?
No, I meant back as in out of here.
Oh. Maybe. I don't think it's really up to us.
What do you mean?
I think it only lets you go, once it's done with you.
What if it's never done with us?
Then we keep exploring, see if we can find the edge, I guess. Whatever happens, though, at least we're together.
Rose smiles at him, then settles back into his chest, looking out at the cold, empty store. This strange, liminal space casts a powerful and disquieting spell over their mindsets.
I miss shopping.
Take whatever you want.
It's not the same.
I know.
Rose exits the store and follows the piece of red twine that is wrapped around the door handle. As she walks away from the door, she looks around at the city. Not a soul anywhere. No destruction, no alien invasion, no bodies. Rob steps out of the store, putting his left shoe back on properly as he does so.
It's getting late.
Stop fucking around with your shoe then, and let's get back.
Rose heads off following the twine.
It was worth the delay.
Yeah.
The road. Late afternoon. A quiet, empty road cuts its way along the side of a wooded area, blocking the quickly setting sun just out of view. Rose and Rob are walking the route laid out for them by the red twine, sticking to it with unwavering faith. The woods. Late afternoon. Rose follows the twine, leading the duo back in the direction they came, when suddenly she stops. Her hand runs along the red string to reveal that it has snapped. The look of panic on her face is palpable.
What the fuck?
She looks up ahead, moving quickly to try and find the twine. But there is no sign of it.
No, fuck!
Where the fuck is it?
Her eyes widen in abject terror at what seems like such a small thing.
How am I supposed to know?
Rob raises his hands up to his head in distress.
Shit!
He takes a moment to look up at the late afternoon sky, giving way slowly to the evening hues.
What are we gonna do?
It's fine. We've still got time. We just have to find the thread.
He puts his hands on Rose's shoulders.
It's fine, I promise.
Then, from the woods, Rob's eyes widen as he looks directly at Rose.
We need to run.
Rose is frozen.
Find the thread. Go.
The sadistic laughing starts again, carried by the emptiness of the atmosphere. Rose is still frozen in place, so Rob shakes her out of it.
Rose, now!
She returns to her body and does exactly as he says, picking up the pace and looking for the twine. As the two of them dash frantically through the trees, they scour the forest floor, but see nothing other than dirt and dead leaves.
I don't see it. I don't fucking see it.
We still have sunlight, so they won't come yet. We can do this.
Rose nods.
It's not going to be far. You look over there. I'll do over here.
Rose does as she's asked and begins to check a section of the woods close by. As her eyes dart around, she brushes leaves out of the way. She glances up to the sky and sees that, even though it's technically still daylight, the night is beginning to relentlessly make its presence known. She looks over to where Rob is, noticing that he doesn't seem to be having much luck either. Again, the howls come, followed by that blood-curdling laughter. Whatever is out there, it enjoys letting them know that it's coming. The sky grows ever darker as Rose continues to look around. Suddenly she spots it. The red twine, tangled in a low branch and blowing in the wind, The sense of elation is almost too much for her as she runs over and takes the twine in her hands. She tugs on it to see that it's still connected to wherever they came from.
Oh, thank fuck!
Rob turns around to better hear what she is saying.
What?
I fucking found it.
Rob seems utterly relieved too, heading towards her when... The sound of metal clamping shut stops him dead in his tracks. The color drains from his face as he suddenly screams out, overcome with agony. Rose freezes, utterly gripped with fear. The sound of whatever is waiting for them in the dark is slowed down as it echoes in her ears. The trees rustle and snap as the tension mounts and... Rose's instincts kick in and she drops the twine, picking her feet up as fast as she can. As darkness continues creeping over them, Rose reaches Rob to find his leg snared in a rusty old animal trap. He screams out, in agony.
Jesus!
She bends straight down and examines it. A shrill, supernatural cackle comes from the distance.
You need to leave.
No.
She grabs the trap by either side.
This is really gonna hurt.
Without asking, she does her best to pry it open, using all her strength to part the rusty metal teeth that rip chunks of flesh from Rob's leg away with them.
No! Rob!
He pulls out his leg, and she lets the trap snap shut again, jumping backwards as she does so. There is no time to waste, though, as Rose rips her top and uses the fabric to tie around Rob's wound. The woods are getting much darker, and the shrieks are growing louder. Rose grabs Rob by the arm.
Get up!
He nods back, pushing through the pain. Whilst propping Rob up, Rose grabs the twine. Night begins to fall as she starts to follow it, dragging Rob with her. The field. Evening. Rose and Rob emerge over the hill, nightfall hot on their heels. Only the last vestiges of daylight cling to the horizon, keeping the howls of evil laughter to their backs. In the distance, the duo can see an abandoned military tank, the final destination of the red twine tied to its gun turret. There are many other colored twines going off in different directions, too.
We made it.
It's clear that Rob has lost a lot of blood, though, and starts to slow down, staggering before dropping, forcing Rose to catch him.
No, you don't. We can make it.
No, Rose, we can't.
The incoming dangers grow louder as the last of the daylight finally disappears. Rose looks up behind them.
They're coming.
Rob grabs her by the face with both of his hands, staining her face red with blood.
Get to the tank. I'm right behind you.
She knows he is lying.
Please, Rose, you have to.
She nods, knowing he is right. He pulls her in and kisses her before pushing her away and gesturing for her to go. She accepts as the screeches grow louder, standing to her feet and turning to make a run for the tank. Her feet carry her towards safety as she stumbles, fighting back her tears and trying not to look over her shoulder. Rob pushes himself up, attempting to get to his feet. Whatever is in the darkness is nearly upon him now. Meanwhile, Rose reaches the tank and pulls open the metal door. This is obviously where her and Rob live, sealed inside its bomb-proof shell. She jumps inside and turns back to see Rob stand to his feet.
Run!
But he doesn't. Instead, he looks at her and mouths silently three little words that are easy for her to make out. I love you. Rose watches before slamming the metal door shut and locking herself inside. Two years later. The field. Morning. The sun hangs low in the morning sky, a sense of fresh dew having settled on the makeshift grave that has been erected in the field where Rob was killed. Only his first name is scratched into the wood. Directly in front of the grave lies the tank, appearing to be standing deserted in the early morning light. Coming off of the tank in all directions are multiple pieces of twine, all of different colors. Slowly, the top hatch begins to lift up, the weight of it clearly a lot for Rose. As it pushes up and locks into place, she slowly emerges from inside. Her hair is longer, and she looks as if 2 years in this empty world has more than taken its toll on her. From inside the tank, the sound of white noise emanating from the radio provides a constant background hum. Rose stretches her arms out towards the sky and yawns, inspecting the field to make sure nothing has changed overnight. With a furrowed brow, she dips back into the tank and turns off the radio. There is movement inside just before the back door swings open, and she steps out, bare feet into the soil below. She sits on the edge of the tank and puts on her socks, glancing over to Rob's grave in the distance. Her boots go on, but the laces remain untied as something else attracts her attention. She examines a curious sight, a loose yellow-colored twine blowing in the wind, seemingly cut not far from the tank during the night. Rose makes her way over to it, her shoelaces still untied as she bends down to pick up the loose thread. She stares out into the distance, her eyes scanning the direction where the rest of the yellow string should be. There is nothing. The eerie silence of this place still gets to her, even after all this time. She slowly backs away, keeping her eyes fixed on the horizon where the yellow twine should lead, before eventually turning around and heading back for the safety of the tank. Rose returns to her makeshift home inside this mobile fortress. She leans in to place items into her backpack. It's obvious that her sleeping quarters have become a real mess, indicating someone that has long since given up on herself in any meaningful sense. She takes a tube of toothpaste and squeezes it out onto her tongue, swilling it around and spitting it out onto the grass, even though there is a toothbrush right next to it. She brushes her fingers through her hair and then leans in to take the bag, her morning routine seemingly complete. Lastly, she grabs a huge roll of red twine and holds it in her hands, leaving the tank door wide open and then heading out for the day. An open road. Morning. Rose moves slowly along the red twine as it leads into an open clearing, revealing a world untouched. Equipment lies unused in the fields. A city stands unmoving in the distance. It's not as if the apocalypse has been here, rather that this place was built for humans that have just never visited. Liminal space in the truest sense. The twine bends sharply to the left, and Rose follows it, making her way into those familiar woods that doomed Rob to his eventual fate. A large hotel dining hall. Morning. The red twine leads to the door handle of a large, empty restaurant. Rose sits quietly, staring blankly into space as she eats a can of tinned peaches she has raided from the kitchen. There is a discomforting sense of absence about the large function room. Tables are made, places are set, no dust has settled anywhere. It's all just very otherworldly. Rose hasn't just become numb to it, she's become a part of it. An empty city. Day. Rose cuts a path through the empty city streets, following the red twine. She glances up at one of the buildings, perhaps hoping to see someone staring back at her, but she is utterly alone. There's no sign of anyone in this place, human or animal. An empty mall, day. Red twine makes its way along the empty hall of a shopping center. The escalators are still working as Rose passes by. She stops to look in one of the windows. What's the point in having stuff, though, when you've got no one to share it with? The garden of an expensive house, day. Red twine takes us to Rose as she tiptoes along the edge of an empty swimming pool in the back garden of an extremely large house, wearing what looks to be an expensive silk dressing gown that she has taken from inside. Towels are laid out on the sun loungers, as if they are expecting guests any moment. A half-inflated child's toy bobs on the water, barely managing to stay afloat. In Rose's hand is a martini glass, the contents half-finished. She swills it around and stares out at the emptiness that has become her life before raising a toast to the daylight. A private bar. Day. Rose stands behind the bar of a plushly decorated area for private entertaining. As she pours herself another drink, it's clear that her cocktail-making skills leave a lot to be desired. She also doesn't seem to care much. On the bar in front of her is a remote for the TV hanging on the wall. She hits the standby button and it powers on, showing that whatever is going on here, electricity isn't the issue. She cycles through channel after channel, mindlessly surfing but always getting the exact same image. White noise. There is no signal here. She downs her strange colored concoction and reaches for a bottle of vodka, taking it with her as she heads out, leaving the TV on. A shipping container yard. Afternoon. The red twine makes its way to an open metal container, nestled in a large yard full of them. Inside, we see open food packets and half-drank bottles of water. Rose is sitting on top of it, eating a bag of chips and looking out to the horizon in front of her. She gazes blankly out at the world as she has come to know it, empty of life and sitting still, her face illuminated by warm sunlight. Tall buildings are framed by a skyline that is completely devoid of plane trails or birds. She'd cry if she had any tears left. But this world has long since hollowed her out. The woods. Late afternoon. Rose follows the twine back through the woods. She comes to a stop at a familiar spot and glances down to see the animal trap that Rob had stepped on 2 years ago. Its rusty metal is still stained with his dry blood. She takes a moment to lament his absence before glancing up at the sky. Night will be here soon. She looks back down at the trap once more, taking a moment before following the twine and heading back to the armored place she calls home. The field. Early evening. As Rose heads back across the field towards the tank, she stops by Rob's grave for a moment, saying nothing. She doesn't have to. Somewhere in the distance, she hears the howl of something sinister starting to stir from its slumber. She sighs and begrudgingly starts walking towards the tank. The red twine blows in the wind. Something is coming. The tank. Early evening. Rose slings her bag in the back. As something shrieks in the distant woods, she glances over at the yellow twine, blowing aimlessly in the gathering wind. Her brow furrows as she wonders what broke it. She climbs inside the tank and pulls the back doors shut, bolting them from the inside. She emerges from the top and takes one last look around at the dying of the light. She pulls the hatch down closed behind her, and we hear that bolt too. 75 millimeters of bullet-resistant armor now stand between her and whatever it is that comes at night. The tank. Early evening. As Rose settles down into the cramped space, the darkness of the tank gives way to unnatural light as she switches on the various battery-powered lamps and torches that are dotted around the place. There are multiple sleeping bags piled onto a mattress in the middle of the floor, showing just how cold it can get in here at night. She makes her way to the front of the tank and switches on the radio. White noise is all that can be heard, but she picks up the receiver anyway.
Hello, can anyone hear me?
She waits.
Come in, does anyone hear me?
Nothing. She changes the channel. She reaches for her bag and pulls out the bottle of vodka she took from the bar earlier. The white noise continues as she opens it and takes a swig.
Hello, this is Rose Phillips. Can anyone hear me?
Nothing. She changes the channel once more. It's going to be a long night of this. Rose is fast asleep, and most likely half drunk. But all sounds quiet, apart from the white noise still coming from the radio. The tank muffles the outside world, but the faint sound of rain hitting the metal hull is unmistakable. Rose stirs, hearing the less than stellar weather and rolling over. She opens her eyes to stare up at the roof. She listens for a moment, checking to see she is alone. Nothing. She gently closes her eyes once more and starts to drift back to sleep. Her eyes shoot open. Something is on the roof. It walks around, heavy enough to make the metal creak under its weight. There is someone or something at the back door. Rose lies deadly still, trying not to make a sound. A voice comes from the other side of the door.
Rose.
Something moves around on the roof again. There is more than one of them. A lot more.
Rose, we'll keep you company. It's okay. We can look after you. Open the door, Rose.
Rose clutches her eyes shut tightly. The metal of the tank starts to creak, and many feet walk all over it. The tank begins to shake, as whatever they are try repeatedly to get in.
Rose. We just want to help you get home.
Whatever they are, they know exactly who she is.
Rose.
This has been a Pigeon Shrine production in association with Empire Studios. Its executive producers are Charlie McDougall, Jamie McLeod Ross, and Steve Mosley. It's produced by Tom Payton alongside Max Sweary, Nicole Bartlett, Alvin Adams, Frank Corby, and Mark Woodyatt. Written by Tom Payton and performed entirely by AI. Follow us on social media by searching for The Pigeon Shrine, all one word. See you next time.